Right now it's 9:15 on the ticket and time for a very special Friday edition of Gordo's Corner.
Thank you so much, Craig. Very excited about our in-studio guest this morning. He is a noted actor who is the one constant through all of the Star Wars films. Anthony Daniels, who was the voice, body, and soul of C-3PO, joins us in studio right now at this very moment. Welcome.
Hi.
Mr. Daniels, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. Anthony, it sounds.
Okay. Anthony.
Anthony, thank you, not Anthony.
I know, okay, I'm sorry about that.
No, no. And C-3PO, of course, we've known for all these years. Isn't that magic?
That is magic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're in town, we should mention, for the Fan Expo, which kicks off today. Starts off with a free event with Bill Shatner, who's Craig's big hero.
Mm-hmm.
He's really? You don't like 3PO? What?
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm just, I've always been more of a Star Trek guy.
Isn't
apologies,
that weird? Yeah,
but it is weird.
Except, you know, Star Trek's got a lot of real science in it, which Star Wars doesn't. Star Wars has real feeling and real depth, I think. But, you know, big respect to Trekkies, and you know, to keep that franchise going for many, many years, you know,
that's pretty
is a good thing. There's room for everybody in this universe.
Anthony, you're one of the more fascinating people of the original cast, the legacy members, as you're calling them.
They
now.
Are. Do you know, what do I call myself? I'm an heirloom in my book. Legacy is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Carrie Fisher came up with that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was her original quote. You've been in all of the movies,
yes.
And which, correct me if I'm wrong, that makes you the only actor that has been in all of the movies.
That's right. Plus, because, you know, being in the prequels, being in the original 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3, now 7, a lot of the character has changed. They're created in different ways. They're animatronic or... the actors have died, been replaced, whatever. And I find myself unbelievably the only actor to work on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And given that I didn't want to be in the original one, that I turned down the job offer because, or at least the interview with George, I wasn't interested.
So tell us that story of how you auditioned for it. Didn't you just go by for a 5-minute audition? And
my agent told me about it and I said I wasn't interested. And she said in very, very forceful language, "Don't be stupid. I'm missing some words out here. You never know what the meeting could lead to." And I went along, uninterested, met George, very nice, not at all what I thought a Hollywood, not that he is ever Hollywood, but not, I didn't know anything about films. He wasn't a film person to me. And he was very quiet. He was exhausted. I hadn't even started filming. And there was Ralph McQuarrie's concept painting of the character on the wall, and I just totally connected with the eyes of the character that looked kind of soulful, kind of lost in the middle of this rocky planet. And there was something that needed me to be there to help him, or vice versa. And then when I read the script the next day, the only character I liked or tuned into in the script was this funny gold man. And I read him as funny because he has no sense of humor at all.
Right, he doesn't realize when he's being
absolutely
funny.
Yes,
right, and that's what makes it funny.
And then, you know, I had another meeting with George and finally said, after an hour, you know, "Well, could I play the part?" And George went, "Sure." And that was it. It wasn't even a word. It was "sure."
But as a kid, I would say that your character was the most visually pleasing to me. I mean, that was just something that was just so gold and shiny, and it was wow, that is really cool.
And that, Liz Moore, the sculptor, took Ralph's original painting and turned it into 3D using a mold of my body. That was a completely extraordinary experience, being covered all over. Anyway, we won't go there. It's a family show.
Now, I do want to talk about the costume that you wore and the fact that, and I recently went back and rewatched A New Hope, the original Star Wars, and Empire. I watched the original three. And I was struck once again how A New Hope is my favorite, the original Star Wars. Most people always say Empire. I loved the first one.
So did I.
And that's what you said during commercials. That was your favorite as well, the very first one.
And I've always been made to feel slightly stupid for saying that, because what's wrong with Empire? You know, I love Empire. Empire's so intelligent. It's so full of this and that. There's a kind of innocence about what became Episode 4, only mirrored lately by Episode 7 that picked
up. You're exactly right. There are reverberations in this latest one that remind me a lot of A New Hope. And when I watched A New Hope, I was struck once again about how almost the primary characters in that are you and R2. It's the story of these two droids. You know, it starts with you guys, And it basically, the action tracks along with what your adventures are.
Very much so. And what also happened in the script, there originally all sorts of scenes with Luke Skywalker talking to Biggs Darklighter about, you know, I want to go to the Academy and it's boring here on Tatooine. And it just kind of slowed the whole film down. So George chopped all those bits out, which left 3PO walking across screen, exiting right, entering left and walking across again, yeah, to my embarrassment, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it created some continuity problems there.
Yeah, it was interesting. But George always said that the droids were the kind of thread that would carry you through. Because nobody, as 3PO says, you know, nobody worries about upsetting a droid.
Awesome.
It's funny, you know, I've had many joys from being in these films. And one of them is the curious thing where somebody will come up and say, you know, my kid doesn't believe you, C-3PO, you know, because I'm just some regular old guy. And could you do the voice for them? And, you know, do you say to the kid, do you remember what 3PO sounds like? And they go, uh-huh, looking at me like, this is a weird old guy. And then I say, hello, I am C-3PO, human cyborg relations, and this is my counterpart, R2. R2-D2, where are you? And you see these sounds go through the ear of the kid. Somewhere in the head, it whirls about. And then their face just breaks into smiles. It's the most brilliant non-acting. You see that sound going in. And suddenly, they just see C-3PO in front of them instead, mm-hmm, of a guy in a shirt, you know. That amuses me. It thrills me.
It's got to give you joy.
Well, so many people also, really, so many people say, thank you for my childhood. I was surprised the first time. Now I get it. That for many people, 3PO, his voice, and the other characters are a timeline within their family life. You know, all the things that happens to a regular family. And Star Wars, and I'm a part of it, are markers in that way.
Yeah.
And a fun thing that's happening, I'm back on the set in London on Wednesday, is that everybody who's working...
You're filming now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's working on the set has grown up as loving Star Wars. Now they're all working on it, whether it's in the sound or the props or scenery or lighting or whatever. And that makes the atmosphere very, very loving. And it was the same on the last thing with J.J. Abrams. The love and affection that's on the set absolutely came through in the movie. And I was thrilled by that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anthony Daniels is in studio with us, the voice and body of C-3PO. And I mentioned body because, you know, it's interesting that you have decided to stay the body of C-3PO, because it is a character that I guess you could argue would not necessarily require you to be in the outfit in order to be the voice of it. But you wanted to be in the outfit. And
when I first talked to JJ about episode 7, he said, so do you just want to do the voice? And I went, no. He said, quite right. I said, but I would like a new costume. Quite right, he said. And what we've done in this one is to, for episode 7, was to absolutely make a facsimile, but to 3D print it. Weighs about the same, looks the same, but we could change some of the way it fits together. So it's much easier to put on, take off. But it's the same kind of restriction. And he has to be the same character that you grew up with, you know. And he very much has his own personality. And, you know, the way I kind of do it, it's got to be me.
Mm-hmm. The body movements.
I do it for love. Yes, and he also has very specific reactions to things. You know, that I don't always know what's going to happen, frankly, until somebody else says the line, and he reacts in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I think that would be really frustrating to know someone else was in there.
I couldn't do it, and I couldn't. You'd have to do the voice first and have somebody mime to it, which is horrible because I couldn't perform to somebody else's physical. It just wouldn't, mm-hmm, work.
Right.
So you're stuck with me right through to episode 9. After that, I think I'll be a little older even then, and I've got to think. I love C-3PO. Why would I abandon him? Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, I've always been fascinated by your particular story in this, because you have something that has happened to you that has happened to a lot of artists who've been part of something very great. You're part of something great. It ends up defining you. The human reaction, I think, is to chafe at that, because you're like, I'm more than just this one thing. But this one thing is so much bigger than one person that it pigeonholes you. People keep you in the C-3PO outfit even when you're out of it. And you've had something of an evolution, I think, psychologically and emotionally with that experience, haven't you?
Yes. And I'm very touched that you put it in those words, because you were 100% right. There was a time that I thought, well, I should stop doing this, really. I should, you know, get a real job, if you like. You know, I've got friends who are in the National Theatre, the Royal Shakespeare Company, whatever. And then a voice of reason took over that it's a very good job. And it's a character that I'm very, very fond of. And I sort of understand him as well. And I will tell you a story that Alec Guinness was hugely kind to me and supportive in the early days. And then over the time, he began to get really quite negative about it, because his body of work was extraordinary. And
he's who play Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But he had played so many major roles, both on stage and particularly on screen. And he did chafe a bit about being known as an old man in a brown dressing gown. And then he died slightly before his time, I think. And he never had time to come through that little dip that he was experiencing and to realize that to be that character that millions of people adore around the planet, literally around this planet, I wished he could have come through that, as I have done. And the fact that I do stick with 3PO, and I'm so lucky because it is my voice, that I can be in all the cartoons, whether it's Clone Wars or the wonderful Lego, the Yoda Chronicle. I mean, sometimes we're crying with laughter in the studio because people love Star Wars so much. You can poke fun at it. We can all relax.
Sure.
It's affection. And you can tease things. And, you know, the fact that I'm talking right now in Star Tours in Disney, in that wonderful ride, that simulator ride, I've had the luck of being 3PO in all sorts of entities and iterations. And that isn't given to many people. And I'm just very, very lucky. And it's in spite of me. I didn't want the job interview. George didn't like my performance, so he tried to revoice it. Something took over to keep 3PO the way he is. And I brought something along, because everybody in the... It's a comic book. And in episode 7, of course, 3PO has a red arm. JJ's idea. love JJ, two bits. But this comic book is not explained in the film. But this comic book called The Phantom Limb, I was a little suspicious of it. It's the most touching story of droids. There's only droids in it. And the affection and the... Oh, I don't know. It's really quite moving. And it's a story of sacrifice. I was very silent when I finished reading it. And, you can buy it at this event over the weekend, I guess, because it's very much worth reading. And it gives a kind of expanded sense to, you know, it's not just a knockabout film with explosions. There is depth in the film and in the expanded universe that so many people belong to.
Is the red arm commented on in the newest film that you're filming right now? Is it ever explained?
You will have just seen a little zipper come across my mouth.
Okay.
Oh, I can't say. Nice. Well, I'm glad you didn't walk away, because that would have been different for us, because we talked about this after seeing the most recent film. Uh-huh. It brought out the fan in us, seeing Han Solo again and, you know, and seeing you again and, it, you know, and that voice again. It just and I saw it with my son, and it was just... It was the type of thing you were talking about with us off air, and that is, it sounds like you're a fan too.
Well, as you speak, you remind me of something else. First of all, at the read-through, we had a really terrific read-through. I thought everybody would just mumble through their script, but they didn't. And 3PO came in way in the middle or somewhere. And when I first spoke as C-3PO, everybody just stopped and applauded, and then we carried on. I was so touched by that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that you really remind me of is I didn't used to get these films. You know, yes, it's all very nice and it's all very clever, whatever, but I didn't get it. Because I'm in it. I know all the clutter that's behind the camera that you don't see. I know there's somebody holding my leg together because it's about to break, but you don't see them because they're below the camera, whatever. I know all the frustrations of filming, you know. How many 14 takes? Oh, okay, 15. Here we go. But then over the years, and I've been very lucky, I was the host of Star Wars in Concert, which was a huge orchestral thing, symphony orchestra, 100-piece choir, huge screen. Me telling the story in arenas around America and Europe, telling the story of Star Wars dressed as myself. And what I got, which you don't get on a film set, is thousands of people, up to 25,000 people in the audience, pushing the love, the affection, the warmth, the belonging. And it really hit me night after night. And it taught me something. I don't have the fan experience, but I have the experience of the fans coming to me. And it's, I'm getting little goosebumps as I speak, because I mean it. They give me something.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very happy to absorb it and take it.
I read an interesting story about how one of these little epiphany moments that you had when you were looking out at a group of fans and they were all dressed as stormtroopers. Do you remember the story? And you had asked the question of, well, what do you guys even do when you're not dressed up as stormtroopers?
Kind of right.
Poking at them,
yeah.
You know, about the fandom, the old you have no life kind of
yes.
thing if you're
yeah.
going around dressed as a stormtrooper. And what was the conclusion?
It was in Germany, and I do remember, and this is a story very much against myself. Thank you for bringing it.
He's good at that.
That I was saying, you know, kind of sneering, right? So, you know, what do you do? I think one was literally a brain surgeon, one was certainly an oceanographer, and one was something equally silent-making. And I thought, and here am I. You know, these guys are really super intelligent, and here am I just somebody who dresses up. It's a plastic and pretends to be a robot. You know? And it was an eye-opener. And more I speak to fans about their life, because in a way, it's such a big family. And I was thrilled the other day to meet a teacher. And I said, what do you teach? Latin, he taught. And he was a big fan. I said, oh, I hated Latin at school. And he said, yeah, but now I use Star Wars. And I said, well, how? Why? What's that got to do with Latin? He said, Yoda speaks with the sentence structure of an ancient Roman. So Caesar to the wall to buy bread went. Everything was the wrong way around. You know? And the fact that you have a teacher now who's inspired by Star Wars to inspire children to learn an ancient language, I think it's pretty remarkable. And I get also that Star Wars is so, the sandbox, whatever you call it, that George created, has brought people into the arts and sciences, into careers that they would never have maybe thought of. It's actually inspired people.
Are Jedis real? Do you think we have Jedis around us?
And is Tony Romo one of them?
And is Jordan Spieth one?
Yeah. They tend to keep things a little quiet.
Yes.
Unless they come
they
to
fan.
They
don't tell you.
No,
yeah.
But they do at fan expos. Because you can. What is lovely about these events, and look, I don't do them very often because, you know, it's kind of full on and intense. But, you know, people are always saying, what's the craziest fan you've ever met? I've never met a crazy fan. They're all
right through that window over there, that guy named Jer.
He already met him.
Crazy.
Oh, okay. He's
already met him.
We're looking for Pen. Has anybody got a
yes,
silver
we,
pen?
I think we found
him.
Yes.
Cool.
I think we found his hat. The fans are loving. Nobody's ever been inappropriate with me or anything like that, because they respect this kind of entity that is almost like the Force. You know, George was very clever with that idea. And I find myself a little bit of it. And from time to time, I come and do these things and allow people to, or give them the opportunity if they want, to come up and say hi and talk about their favorite moment and ask why and take a picture and a souvenir. What is scary is over the years, over 40 years, people say, look, I took a picture with you back in 1970. And I look at this young guy, yeah, thanks.
Well, the thing I loved about that Stormtrooper story was that... you know, they were all humans inside those Stormtrooper outfits with huge universes of their own inside those costumes. And that's the same thing that I think you bring to C-3PO is you bring the human inside of him, inside the
droid.
And
it does. And you may not realize also when we're filming, R2-D2 is totally silent. It's just a box. It's a beautifully made thing. But it was Ben Burtt who put the sound on way later. So I'm talking to myself all through the movies, which got tiresome, and then I just got used to it. You know. Tiresome on day one and two. And then I thought, well, nobody's helping, so I'll just do it. But then if you listen to R2 again, and especially in episode four, he whistles it a bit, you know. And at some point, you go, Well, the whistle is Ben Burtt, the sound designer, just whistling into a microphone. And the sounds of his baby kind of And I think that enables you to sense humanity in R2-D2, that there is a kind of non-plastic, non-ferrous quality about this character. And with 3PO, of course, it's the fact that he is humanoid-looking, but also he exhibits overt ideas of fear and love and all that kind of thing. So he's an exaggeration of human qualities, and we kind of recognize that. You wouldn't go as far as he would, but maybe you have those feelings sometimes. And it was a very neat piece of George's script writing and Lawrence Kasdan's writing that allowed this to happen. And then somehow I ended up being the amanuensis, the thing that you see.
Well, you've been given a beautiful gift by the universe, being C-3PO, and that's been a gift to us, too.
What is scary, somebody did kind of flummox me in an interview the other day, said, you know, what will happen to 3PO in the end?
Oh, there's an end.
No,
he's going forever.
He's a droid. He can live forever.
Well,
it
shocked me. It was a very good question. I don't want to get that. I know what will happen to me in the end at some point. But with 3PO, I kind of like him to go on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Droids can last millennia.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for coming in studio with us. It was an absolute joy to meet you.
Well, I am thrilled at the affection I feel for you, and also the amount of knowledge you have as a team about something I do.
Well, thank you
for the support over the years.
It was a thrill.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure.
And may the force be with you.
Yeah! We got the force!
Hell yeah!
That's great. To say it.
Yes!
I've got so much force right now. That's Anthony Daniels, C-3PO. He's at Fan Expo. It kicks off today. Be going on this weekend at the Dallas Convention Center. Go by and see him.